Coming up on KUCB News, Penn Air will be sold this fall, and the ballot is set for Unalaska's municipal election. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, August 20th, 2018. After filing for bankruptcy protection last summer, Penn Air has been ordered to sell its assets to avoid a shutdown. A federal judge has scheduled the auction for early October, following an emergency motion by the trustee appointed to oversee the airline's bankruptcy proceedings. In the motion filed last week, Trustee Gerald McHale argued for the expedited sale schedule in light of Penn Air's, quote, quickly deteriorating cash position. Court documents indicate the company owes at least $10 million to more than 200 creditors, including the state of Alaska, the city of Unalaska, and Alaska Airlines. Penn Air is one of Southwest Alaska's largest air carriers and the only one connecting Unalaska and most Aleutian and Pribilof communities to Anchorage. McHale told KUCB he's confident Penn Air has enough financial backing to remain afloat through November on its own and that he already has bidders lined up for after that. He's also assured Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson that Unalaska's flights will continue normally during the sale, but that remains to be seen for the carrier's other routes, which include Dillingham, Cold Bay, and St. Paul. Penn Air CEO Danny Siebert was traveling Friday and unavailable for comment. His airline expanded to the lower 48 in 2011, but closed its hubs in Oregon and Colorado last August after filing for bankruptcy protection. Court documents show Penn Air has taken out $4.5 million in loans since then. Unalaska's fall election will feature only one contested race. Released Friday, the final ballot shows two candidates vying for City Council seat G, incumbent Sherry Coleman and Vincent Tudiakoff Sr. Coleman is a compliance supervisor at the Unisea Seafood Plant. Last October, she ousted Rochelle Hatfield, who was appointed when Frank Kelty vacated the spot to become mayor in 2016. Tudiakoff also ran for mayor that year, earning fourth place in the five-way race. He currently serves on the boards of directors for the Unalashka and Aleut corporations. Meanwhile, both Alejandro Bong-Tungle and Carlos Tayag are running unopposed, Tungle for City Council seat F and Tayag for School Board seat A. Tungle is manager at the Gas & Go, owned by North Pacific Fuel, and a founding member of the island's Filipino-American Association. He was first appointed to the council in 2013. Tayag is a newcomer to the local political scene. He coordinates youth programming for the Department of Parks, Culture, and Recreation, and he's poised to replace longtime school board member Tammy Fowler Pound, who did not file to run for re-election. Unalaskans must register to vote by September 2nd, a month before the polls open. You can register at City Hall, the library, or online at voterregistration.alaska.gov, and you can expect KUCB's annual candidates forum in late September. But first, election season starts in earnest tomorrow with the state primary, and beyond picking the nominees for governor, lieutenant governor, and U.S. representative, voters will decide who challenges incumbent Bryce Edgeman for House District 37. The district covers a massive swath of southwest Alaska, including the Aleutian Islands. Edgeman has represented the area in Juneau for more than a decade. But vying to unseat the Dillingham Democrat are two Republicans, William Weatherby of King Salmon and Stan Swetsoff of Naknek. Weatherby won the Republican nomination in 2016, while Swetsoff missed the deadline to mount a writing campaign. KUCB spoke with Weatherby recently about his platform.
So the PFD has been a key point in your campaigns. You argue that it should never have been cut and that permanent fund earnings should not be used to pay for state government. But others, like Bryce Edgman, have supported those moves, saying they're necessary to help solve Alaska's financial situation. So what did you think of the budget that came out of the last session? Because it did increase the PFD from $1,100 to $1,600 bucks.
Okay. First of all, it did not raise the PFD. The PFD should be about $3,000. This budget did not raise the PFD. It cut the PFD. So let's be a little more accurate.
Right. Under the original formula, the PFD would have been higher. I only meant to point out that the recent budget did increase the PFD over the previous year. But it sounds like, overall, you're not happy with the budget.
I am not thrilled with the budget. Stole from us less this year. So do you congratulate a thief that stole less from you this year than they stole from you last year?
So what would you like to see done differently? Would you cut spending further?
I have a background in manual labor, so I'm not the person to cut budgets. Every department, I think there's 14 departments, there are people deeply involved in their departments that know where they can save money. So I would have to be presented with a lot of information in order to figure out where to cut.
So you're open to new cuts as long as they're heavily informed by state employees. What about generating new revenues, like an income tax? Edgman has said that'll probably be necessary.
New revenue streams, I'm all ears on how the state can make more money. Now, as far as revenue goes, a lot of people consider taxes to be revenue. So basically what they're saying is, we need to help these people, so let's take money from these people to help these people. And the big problem is there's a good amount of waste. So I don't think income tax is a good revenue. And it's almost insulting to call it revenue.
We've been talking a lot about your budget philosophy and how it differs from Bryce Edgman's, but I want to ask you about Stan Swetsoff, too. You'll have to beat him in the primary in order to challenge Edgman in the general election. So what do you think of Swetsoff?
I like competition. It makes a better product. If Stan has a better chance of beating Edgman, then I will support Stan Swetsoff. I haven't heard a thing from him politically in 2 years. Not a word. I don't know how well connected he is to this whole political process. On his Facebook page, he has a map up of the district, but it's the wrong map. It's not actually our district.
That was William Weatherby of King Salmon. He's running for the Republican nomination for House District 37. His opponent is Stan Swetsoff of Naknek, who does have an outdated map posted to his campaign's Facebook page. Swetsoff did not respond to KUCB's requests for an interview. Originally from Atka, he previously lived in Unalaska and worked for the Department of Public Safety. The winner of tomorrow's primary will face Bryce Edgman of Dillingham, who's running unopposed for the Democratic nomination. The polls open at Unalaska City Hall tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Island voters can cast their ballots until 8 in the evening. Unalaska's third cruise ship of the season is stopping in port today. The luxury Silver Explorer carries 144 passengers and is scheduled to be here from 1:30 in the afternoon until 6 o'clock in the evening. Once it leaves, the island won't see another cruise ship until mid-September. That's when the Star Legend and Silver Shadow are expected to dock one day after the other. There's a huge network of instruments set up on mountains across Alaska. They're supposed to detect rumblings and explosions from dozens of volcanoes, and the idea is to make sure planes don't fly through clouds of volcanic ash. Now, as Nat Herz reports for Alaska's Energy Desk, that system is getting an upgrade.
Trust me, you really, really don't want your plane to fly through a cloud of volcanic ash. It happened once in the 80s in Alaska. A 747 was on its way to Japan when it flew into an ash cloud that had drifted more than 100 miles from Mount Redoubt. Here's a crew member talking with air traffic control as all four of the plane's engines cut out. The plane was carrying 250 people. It lost half its elevation before pilots could restart the engines and land in Anchorage. The city has one of the nation's busiest cargo airports. Today, pilots depend on the Alaska Volcano Observatory, which is a partnership between the state and federal governments and University of Alaska Fairbanks. The observatory buries instruments called seismometers on the sides of volcanoes. They measure rumblings and explosions and send data by radio. Scientists then use the data to help issue forecasts and warnings. Except the system still depends on old-school equipment. Tom Murray oversees the Volcano Observatory for the U.S. Geological Survey.
It was designed when it was copper phone connections in between the houses, and there was no such thing as the digital world that we live in. So it's obsolete, to say the least. It was obsolete 20 years ago, and it's more obsolete now.
Murray says that presents all kinds of limitations. The old equipment transmits noise, like the static you hear if you have fuzzy reception. It's bad at picking up more than one type of vibration, which makes it hard to detect both tiny movements and big explosions. Now the system is getting an overhaul. Earlier this year, Congress budgeted $12 million for upgrades. Over the next few years, the obsolete equipment is going to be replaced by a modern digital system. Murray describes it with an orchestra analogy.
Our current system, you might say, is really good for the viola section. Violins, a little, but that gets kind of high and you can't hear that very well. And then the bass you forget about completely.
He says the new system will capture all the instruments at different volumes.
So not only do you get the entire orchestra, but you can hear it when it's just playing a little tiny, little, very quiet piece, but also when it's going full blast.
Switching to digital transmission will help scientists block out noise from their seismic readings and give them more confidence in their forecasts. With the old system, uncertainty about the data could force the observatory to issue more cautious warnings. Planes would have to avoid a larger area or avoid it for longer. Murray says the new digital transmission equipment will also make it easier to pair the observatory's seismic equipment with webcams and other instruments. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And a reminder for students and families, tomorrow is the first day of school in Unalaska. Classes start tomorrow morning at 8:30 for all grade levels. Have a safe and successful first day back from all of us here at KUCB. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.